This is Real Ghost Stories Online Live Edition, the edition of the program where you call in live and share your ghost stories with us. We do it every single Wednesday at 4 p.m. Central on Facebook, and that's where we are today. The phone number that we're giving out in today's episode is for the live edition only. Only call it if you're watching us live. Otherwise, the other standard 800 phone number. So today, 216-446-7810, 216-GHOST-10, to call in your real ghost story live.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. Stories Online.
And indeed it is. And like I said, the phone number to call in on the live program, and the lines are open, is 216-GHOST-10, 216-GHOST-10, to share your real ghost stories with us live this afternoon. We would love to hear from you. Comments, questions, ask anything you'd like in the comment section, and I'll do my best to try and answer them as we go through the program today. Excited about our live episodes. Always love doing these. So without further ado, I see we got some calls lining up. And as this works, you will be on hold in the order in which you called in. So do not hang up. Just hang on and please wait patiently so I can get over to your call. Caller at 805 will be next. First, let's go to a caller at 763. My prediction is going to be really loud, so I'm going to try and turn the volume down here. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, my name is Irma, and I'm from Minnesota.
What's your name?
Irma.
Nice to meet you. Thanks for calling in. What story you got for us today?
It's my second time calling for you guys. Mine came out like the Green Reaper two years ago.
Okay.
I think you wrote it as an MPP.
Okay.
Thank you so much for that.
Sure.
It just happened recently. My boyfriend just moved out near to a cemetery. And I've always been sensitive for anything paranormal. So I saw him just few blocks from where he lives. It's a cemetery. And I passed the first time. Nothing was there. Next week, I passed again to his house. Nothing again. But then I got the feeling the next week that he's moving. He's just been there for like 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So last week, just out of a sudden, I'm like looking, trying to not look into the cemetery because I know I'm going to see something. And I saw someone kneeling in a cemetery and the tomb of someone. Just saw the black hair, like always. She was wearing like a colorful sweater.
Okay.
And I was thinking, I'm like, maybe just recently someone died. But I was like, no, it couldn't be. And I could have saw something, or the last few weeks I would have noticed something, but no. So the next day I went again to his house just wanted to confirm if I'm seeing something or not.
Mm-hmm.
So then again, I live around 8, and again, I saw the same thing. The black hair, she was kneeling, she was crying, but you couldn't see her face. And the sweater, like I said, it was the same color, the same, like, red, yellow, green, all of it, but like you can feel it, like something not good, like you clearly can see it. And I just told my family recently, you know what, I've been passing there and I just thought that, you know what, it's creepy, but my boyfriend just moved in there, so I'm gonna be seeing a lot of things from there.
I wish, I guess so. I mean, it sounds like it's kind of a hot spot for activity. And if you're sensitive to it, yeah, you're likely in for a good old time.
Yeah. Hopefully, but not too much.
Exactly. Hopefully, whatever is there stays there and doesn't actually follow you anywhere. Well, hey, thanks for calling in that story and sharing it this afternoon. We appreciate it.
No, thank you.
All right.
Have a good day.
You too. 216-GHOST-10, 216-446-7810 is our phone number. There's a call at 813. You will be next, so please hang on the line. Let's go to the caller at 805 right now. And what is your name, and where are you calling from?
Hi, my name is Rachel, and I'm from Santa Barbara.
Okay. Welcome, Rachel. Let's hear your ghost story.
First of all, I just want to say I love your show.
Thank
it's
you.
It's really awesome.
I appreciate that.
this happened recently. It was like last October, and it's fairly personal for me to share, but I just really enjoy hearing other people's stories. But last October, I had a huge split from my partner.
Okay.
And it was really obviously a very emotional time for me. And unfortunately, that meant that I had to move out of our home. And, you know, I've been living there for the past decade.
Mm-hmm.
And it was such a safe place for me, and I was just so emotional, and I was wanting to take my life.
Okay.
And so I was sitting there in our master bedroom, and I was writing out letters to all my friends and family, and then all of a sudden we have like these like sliding glass doors for or mirror doors for like our closet.
Mm-hmm.
So like they're like on a like a roller track, and so all of a sudden like one door just slid to the left, and then the second door slid right after that, and it wasn't like a slow kind of roll or anything like that. I mean these are pretty heavy, so it's like as if someone was standing there and just like pushing these doors to the side.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what it was. I have no explanation for that. But when I told my mom about it, she was automatically thought that it was my dad who was trying to get me to stop. And he like passed away like 5 years ago. So, yeah.
So when these doors opened the way that they did, and you were in the process of essentially writing out your goodbyes, what was going through your mind? What made you change your mind internally? What was the trigger that made you kind of rethink that and help you, you know, get to a better place?
I don't know. It just something in my intuition. Like at first I just looked up and I just, you know, asked out loud, like, who's there?
Mm-hmm.
And nothing happened. But then I just went back to like writing my letter. And then there was some like voice, you know, in my head saying like, no, this isn't how it should be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you still have to keep on going.
Sure.
But yeah, it was just really weird seeing something move like that, but mm-hmm. shouldn't move on its own.
Sure.
Yeah. But yeah, I after like when I told my mom and stuff, and she, you know, said it was my dad, that it kind of, I guess, makes sense, because like I don't know, like after he passed away like 5 years ago, I remember like the night after he passed, I could hear him like walking around the house.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone else was like fast asleep and stuff, and it definitely weren't, my mom had cats too, and it definitely wasn't the cats.
Sure.
But I just like recognized hearing those steps. And it kind of freaked me out a little, but at the same time, it was like, okay, I know it's my dad, but
yeah.
It's still a little freaky.
Definitely.
And I thought I was like going crazy, but yeah.
Well, I'm glad that there was some sort of a distraction, something that was able to kind of trigger you to a little bit better place, and that you're still here amongst the living. That's obviously a good thing. And when you're
yeah.
in, you know, obviously those of us, you know, who are prone to depression and things like that, folks who are not have a hard time understanding where one can be at that state. But it's just important when you're when you're in the good state, when things are good, of you know, educating yourself and techniques and things that you can do to keep yourself or to help you when you get into those places in life. Because obviously, life's going to give you ups and downs, no matter what. But you know, the more tools in your toolbox to kind of help pull you out of those states, or even prevent getting to those states, the better off you're going to be. So you can, you know, still be with us on this side. I'm glad to hear everything worked out, and I'm glad to hear that there was something intervening there in that moment in time. So it's amazing how that stuff kind of works out. Thank you for sharing that story with us. I know it's very personal, but you know, lots of people listen to this. You probably reached somebody today that could use that story. So thank you very much.
All right. Well, great. Thank you.
Have a good one. 216-GHOST-10. 216-GHOST-10 is our phone number. There's a caller at 404 that we'll get to after our next call. It's coming in from area code 813. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Amanda calling from Brandon, Florida.
Amanda, welcome to the show. Let's hear your ghost story.
This happened maybe about almost 2 months ago. I worked for a patient for 6 years. He wasn't able to speak. He was wheelchair bound. Mm-hmm. I became very close to him and his family. So as you can imagine, his death took me pretty hard.
Sure.
I had gotten a phone call on a Tuesday morning about 7 o'clock, and he told me that, you know, he had passed, but if I would still mind to go over there and not only support the family, but be there for his wife and bathe her and get her ready for the day. What I wasn't expecting is that his body was still there in bed. I get there, you know, of course I give my condolences to the family, and I give him a kiss on the forehead, and I let them take care of, you know, his final arrangements and things like that. And then when the body was taken away, I went back in the room to clean it. Mm-hmm. And in our religion, it's very important, you know, as far as the spiritual world and, you know, how we communicate with them. But to me, what caught my attention the most is I was in the room, I could feel him above my shoulder, like if he was trying to, like, hug you from behind.
Sure.
And it was just one of those moments that I will never forget, because it was like he never left. And even now, sometimes when I go and still see his wife, you could still feel his presence in the house, especially in the room where he, you know, essentially did pass away. And it just amazes me that even though I was just his nurse, he still has formed a very tight connection for me. And in my mind, it's like I helped him all those years, and it feels like more so now he's trying to help me in death, essentially.
Sure. And I think that happens quite often. And I think a lot of times when cases like this occur, a lot of times we jump to the idea that it's only family that ends up connecting with us from the other side. But I don't think that's the case. I think family is kind of a relative term, and it can be an emotional bond between friends, between a caregiver and a receiver. There's all different ways that strong connection can occur in life, and then also carry on in death, where one is still helping the other from the other side. It's not always about blood. It's about those relationships and those connections
exactly.
that we make in the living.
And what concerned it for me even more is when I was discussing it with someone, and they're like, no, this gentleman walks with you. And the minute that was stated, I felt a tingling in my right shoulder, like confirming what the gentleman had said.
Sure. That's a cool story, and that's very neat that you got to kind of someone watching out for you that can see things in a very different way from the other side. Thank you for calling and sharing that story with us this afternoon. Really do appreciate it very much. 216-GHOST-10 is our number. 216-446-7810 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Thank you, everybody, for all the comments that I'm seeing popping up, all the kind words. Phone lines, we have two calls on hold. We're going to go to 404 here in just a second. I just want to answer some questions reactions that I've been seeing here on Facebook and on the YouTube feed. Now, folks ask when we're doing the live show, where is Jenny? Well, Jenny's not doing the live shows when we do it, but just basically time-wise, we're trying to figure out the best time to do it. We used to do this in the evening hours, and now we're doing it in more in the daytime hours. So you got me on the live shows. Jenny is still a part of the program, as well as some of the other co-hosts that you've probably been hearing. Carol Hughes and Sean Reed, also co-hosting the show on a regular basis now. We decided to add some other folks into the mix to add more perspective to the show, to add more feedback, more experiences, and this was at Jenny's request. It wasn't a matter of let's have some other people come in because or anything of that nature. We talked about how can we grow the show, how can we make the show better as time progresses, and Jen's working on some other projects too on the side that are not involving being on the air that she wanted to dedicate some more time to. So that's some of the reasons. I know some folks are asking why did we see less of Jenny, it seems, and that's true, but she is certainly still very much a part of the show, and is in essentially kind of we have a rotation of co-hosts that we go through now on a regular basis, but she's still very much here. In fact, just right before I got here to do this show, we were painting for one of the business thing that she's working on. I won't say much about that right now, but at some point we can probably talk more about that, but it involves, you know, her passion of home design and home improvement and things of that nature. And I did a promo video for this, and I got all the white paint off of my head. I was spray painting with a giant paint sprayer. And I thought, oh, I'll get home real quick and I can jump on the air. And then it looked like I don't know, snow or some sort of white powder all over my head. I thought, well, I should probably clean that up. So just to answer the questions and any sort of concerns about what you're seeing with the show right now as we, of course, grow and evolve it and try and give you the best shows that we possibly can here. Let's go over to a caller at 404. What is your name and where are you calling from?
My name is Morgana and I'm calling from Atlanta, Georgia.
Oh, excuse me. All right. Let's hear your story.
This goes back to when I was 5 years old.
Okay.
My first experience, you might say.
All right.
I was living in Oregon with my parents, and at that time I used to like to sleep between my mommy and my daddy. Well, one night about 3 o'clock in the morning, I got woke up. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't get back to sleep, so I crawled up to look out the window because their bed was against the window. I looked out the window and I saw a bonfire with people dancing around it.
Okay.
Just like Native Americans. Well, of course there was nobody there because I got scared and I crouched back down and I looked up again.
Okay.
There was nobody there. Come to find out later on in years, because I lived there until I was about 17, it was built on an Indian burial ground. And, or at least Indian tribal ground at the time.
Okay.
And that was only my first experience, but I've been very spirit sensitive ever since.
Yeah. It's amazing how many stories or explanations to stories end with, and it's on an Indian burial ground. And it's like, okay, well, that explains everything.
It scared me.
Sure.
It was like, I couldn't look, but I had to look, you know?
No, I understand. I completely understand. One of the most compelling places that I've always been drawn to since I was a little kid, probably, I don't know, 9, 10 years old, is Mackinac Island. And the first time I ever went there,
I
was just enthralled. And it is very touristy. It's in Michigan. It's right between the two peninsulas of Upper and Lower Michigan. Beautiful, beautiful place. But there's a lot of, I mean, if you're in the downtown area, it's fudge shop after fudge shop and t-shirt shop and hat shop and this and that. But it's all set in a community where there's no vehicles allowed on the island other than emergency vehicles. And even that's very limited. Other than that, it's all horse and buggy. And there is a level of people who do live there on a regular basis. Year-round, in winter months, it's very difficult to get to and from the island. But the people, you know, these are like the people who run the businesses that live there. But anyway, it's always drawn me, and I don't know why, other than it's a very unique place. It's a beautiful place. I'm not – so there's a good reason to be drawn to it. But there's just something about it that was always so – I don't know. I don't want to sound trite or silly, but like magical. Just there was something that was really drawing me to it. And eventually to the point where I ended up when I grew up – I went and found a job in radio as close as I could to it because the closest is the Traverse City, Petoskey area. So I worked in radio for a year up there just so I could easily get to the island whenever I wanted to. And I would. I'd drive up there, take about a half hour drive, take the ferry over, and just walk around the island. And I just love doing it. And I never knew why. I didn't really know any of the ghost stories when I was there. I wasn't doing this show. I wasn't investigating anything. I just was drawn to the place. But recently on an episode of The Grave Talks, the other podcast that I do, where it's the interview shows, I talked with the one of the big paranormal investigators on the island, and he answered so many of my, I guess, questions that I didn't even have about the place. And basically, the island is one giant burial ground. The Native Americans in that area, before it became touristy, would go to the island and bury their dead all over the island for many, 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 many hundreds and hundreds of years. And now, I guess, whenever they're doing construction or building anything on the island, It's almost impossible to not come across human remains because the whole island is a burial ground. But that seems to be an issue where they constantly, when they're digging anything or a foundation, they're finding remains all over the place. Even in existing buildings, if they're wanting to go deeper, they're finding more bodies. But it's just a very intriguing place. And I don't know if it's the ghostly aspect of it that's always drawn me to it, even though I didn't really know much about it. Or what, but it's such a haunting place, but such a neat place. It's a very peaceful, peaceful place, not a, oh my God, I must get off the island quick type place. But that's that's my burial ground being drawn to story. Thank you for calling in and sharing your story and humoring me, letting me share my story.
Not a problem. I got one little bit of a story else about that house.
Real quick, go ahead.
There was one room that had, it was like, you had the laundry room, and then you had a window, and then you had another room.
Okay.
Every time that I was in the room adjacent to the laundry room,
sure,
I would see, because I could look in the mirror, and I would see some kind of a shade figure walk by through that window. It was one of those weird houses.
Just kind of, always something going on that you can't really explain.
Yeah.
Thanks for sharing the stories this afternoon. Really do appreciate it. 216-GHOST-10 is the number. 216-446-7810, our phone number. Caller at 706, hang on the line. Caller at 337, hang on the line. Caller at 509, you're up next. Hang on 1 second. Before we get there, I want to ask everybody who's watching on Facebook right now or YouTube if this option is available. I still don't know. Press share on our broadcast this afternoon. That lets everyone know that we're doing this thing live. As you know, and I always have to say it, Facebook does not feed this to everybody who likes our show or subscribes to it. It requires other folks saying, hey, we're watching. So please do press share if you would right now. That will let other folks know that we exist and we're doing this thing live. I get a lot of calls from people or emails saying, I wish I would have known you were live. And I do my best. I send emails, I send posts, but you know, we're all busy, so I understand how you miss it. But pressing share really helps the community and everybody else who wants to know that we're live in fact, find us. So I really do appreciate you pressing that share button this afternoon as we do the program. Or if you're feeling even more adventurous, share us yourself on any other social media you may have. Twitter, Reddit, Instagram, whatever, and let folks know that we're doing this thing. That is always greatly appreciated. Let's go over to a caller that's been on hold for quite a while at 509. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
My name is Amy. I'm calling from Spokane, Washington.
Amy, welcome to the program. Let's hear your ghost story.
I actually have three short ones, if that's okay.
Sure. Give us your best one first.
I'll start. And that's actually the oldest one. Okay. So when I was about 8 or 9, I used to be really scared of my bedroom, and I never knew why. No reason, really. My grandmother was really, really religious, and I don't know why she felt the need to talk to me about this, but she was telling me about hell.
Sure.
And that night, so I don't know if this is just mental thing or if maybe it was something paranormal, but that night, I woke up in the middle of the night, and I heard what sounded like, the best way I could describe it is like books flying around the room.
Okay.
And I just heard just all kinds of odd noises in my room. And so I woke up and I looked around. I didn't see anything moving. So I started to freak out. I got really scared. I started feeling hot, kind of started sweating a little bit. So I pulled the covers over my head. And I turned to my right. We had a couple cats at the time, but they were tortoise calico type cats. They were darker. I turn over to my right, and there's this white cat that walks down the bed, and it just disappeared into my headboard. I don't know what that was about. After that, I took off running and just ran straight up to my parents' room, and like for the next couple years, I didn't sleep in my room. I was terrified.
I don't blame you.
I don't know.
The ghost cat diminishes into the headboard. Yeah.
The ghost cat did it for me. That was the final straw. I'm like, okay, I'm out. I thought it was maybe my uncle because he lived with us at the time and he worked well and like till like 3 a.m. and he would come home late. But I could hear him snoring in the room next to me. So I'm like, okay, it's not my uncle. So yeah, I don't know what was going on there. And then in the same house when I was 17, and there was nothing before this. I wasn't thinking of anything. I was just going into the laundry room to talk to my mom. I had nothing on my mind. I was walking out from my room, which is the front of the house, same room. Laundry room was in the back. And above the living room, there was this mass floating. It was like, there wasn't a shape to it. It was just kind of like this weird ovalish. It wasn't an apparition or anything.
Yeah.
But it was like a bluish purple. And it was just floating there. So I stopped, and I didn't feel scared, which is weird because ghost stuff freaks me out.
Sure.
I love you guys. But I just stared at it for maybe a good 15, 20 seconds. And then I just kind of, okay. And I kept walking, and I said to my mom, I said, did you see that thing floating above the couch? And she's like, no, it was probably a ghost. Maybe, but I have no clue where it came from or what it was. I wasn't thinking of anything. I wasn't.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't feel scared, nothing, no feeling at all. So I don't know, that was strange. I don't know what was up with that house, but I tried to find out if there was anything in its past. My parents were the second owners.
Yeah.
But I can't find anything online about it. It was in Southern California. So I really, really don't know. But my last story, really short. My husband's grandpa passed away. It's been about 7 years, and I was pregnant at the time with my daughter, and he was really close to him. I'd only met him maybe once or twice because he lived in Oregon, so we just didn't see him very often, but he was really close with my husband, and we knew he was sick. We knew he was on his last leg, and it was probably about 11 o'clock one night. I was just in bed crocheting, and I was pregnant, so I couldn't really sleep, and all of a sudden I just felt like there was somebody in the room. And, I mean, it was so strong, I actually, like I did when I was a kid, I put the covers over my head, even though I was in my late 20s. I put my covers over my head until it went away, but it was so strong that I stopped what I was doing, and I looked over at my husband, and he's just passed out. I mean, he was not even, no clue at all. And so my mother-in-law calls me the next morning and tells me that his grandpa had passed away. And I didn't think anything of it at first. And then it hit me, and I said, well, what time? And she said, well, about 11 o'clock last night. And I told her what happened, and she's religious, but I've never heard her talk about ghosts or anything like that. And she said maybe he was just coming to say goodbye, you know, to stop by and on his way out. I know I hear that all the time, but I just don't know why me. I wasn't close with him. I don't know if he was just stopping by to look at my husband one last time. I don't know, but it's the only thing that makes sense.
You know,
I was feeling that way.
It's a weird thing when you hear about stories like that, where it's like, why me? Like, I know you, like, we're kind of acquaintances, but we're not like close or tight. And I almost wonder if it's almost kind of like dialing someone on the phone, or you need to get a hold of someone, and you just kind of go down your laundry list of people. And the lines are busy, they're not answering, they're, you know, and just in life, maybe, you know, your husband was sleeping. Maybe everybody else that was on the list of like, oh, I'm going to make an appearance to them, and they're somehow tied up and not going to be able to catch this. And eventually, you're on the list. Maybe you're farther down the list.
I must be.
Because you weren't, like, you know, very close. But eventually, it's like, damn it, I've tried to reach everybody, and they're all gone, and finally, you answered. And that
right,
be it.
Right. Maybe that was it.
I can only imagine how frustrating that must be if you're dead. And this is like the last, your last chance. And like, damn it, everybody's like all preoccupied in their own stuff. But, you know, but the fact that they, you know, he did get to make a connection. You know, I think maybe the reliance sometimes then is, well, hopefully then this gets shared with the other folks that that I cared about, so they know I'm over here too. Although I think a lot of times,
and I did.
Good. That's good, because I think a lot of times it doesn't happen. It's just like, well, that was weird. I'm afraid to tell anybody. I think you probably did what he wanted then, just to say, oh, he's over there now. I got the message. So, thank you for
I hope so.
For calling in and sharing those three stories with us this afternoon. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Tony.
All right, have a good one. 216-446-7810 is our phone number. Caller at 337. Hang on, we'll get to you next. First, caller at 706. What's your name? And where might you be calling from?
Hi, my name's Olivia. I'm calling from Dalton, Georgia.
All right, Libby, let's hear your story.
So, I have a kind of funny story. When I was younger, I would go to a bed and breakfast in Helen, Georgia with my grandma. She was friends with the owners, and the house was from the early to mid 1800s, I believe.
Okay.
And it was owned by a husband and wife, and they were older, and they built the house together, and they lived in it and raised their kids and everything. So they had a strong connection, you know? Mm-hmm. And one night we were up there, and I used to do dancing. And it was when I was very young. I was about 3, I guess. And I was exhausted, and my mom went and took me to the master suite and laid me down, and she was laying in the bed next to me. And I had some balloons that were given to me that night, and one by one, they started popping. And next thing I know, it woke me up, and I was scared, and my mom got me back to sleep, but she was like, this is weird. I got to get out of here. So she goes downstairs and leaves me. She puts like pillows around me and puts me in the middle of the bed so I can't fall off, mm-hmm. and goes downstairs. She comes back up, and I'm scooted over completely to the other side of the bed. And next thing she knows, she starts hearing like a deep snore, like of a man.
Yeah.
And she looks down on the bed, and there's an imprint of a man sitting, like not sitting, but laying down with his head on the pillow, sleeping in the bed. And she moved me over and took off running down back downstairs. And she just left me sitting in the bed, which is so funny.
That's disturbing in itself.
Just left our 3-year-old child laid in the bed. It's a ghost.
Yeah.
I remember seeing a man in like a full suit downstairs in the like formal sitting room. Smoking a pipe. And I remember I asked my grandma about it whenever I was older, and I was like, did the man smoke a pipe? And she was like, no, the only person that ever smoked a pipe was the man who owned the, like, built the house. So there's just my little short funny story, and it's always good to know that my mom's gonna leave me sitting next to a ghost someday.
Did you ever have a conversation with your mom about that? You know, as an adult, going, "Mom, why did you leave me?"
I tried, but she is not like me and my grandma. We love the paranormal, and we like talking about it. My mom does not, and I asked her about it, and she was like, "I'm not talking about this. I'm not talking about it." I never got an explanation.
Maybe that's it. I mean, you would hope and you would think that you would, you know, grab your child and run if you were that fight or flight reactionary in a situation like that. But maybe it's just that overwhelming to her that's you know just the endorphins just hit her and that nothing else, she couldn't think of anything else other than run, you know. Maybe that's just it, and it's also probably the same reason why she won't talk about it either, because it's just too overwhelming. Thanks for sharing that with us this afternoon. Do appreciate the phone call. 216-GHOST-10, 216-GHOST-10 is our number, 469. Hang on the line. You will be next. First caller at 337. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, my name's Sherry. I'm calling from Lafayette, Louisiana, and I love your show.
Well, thank you.
My mom listens to it all the time.
Well, cool. I really appreciate that. Let's hear your story.
Yes. Okay. My dad passed away in 2014. He used to always buy, like, those grocery store flowers, and he'd come home and he'd give, like, one to me, one to my daughter, one to the neighbor, and the rest to my mom. Well, he had passed away, and my daughter and me were staying with my mom a few months just so she wouldn't be alone. Well, my daughter was at work, and she had found out another friend had passed away. And so she got home and, you know, was kind of acting weird and told us what was going on, and she went to the back to take a bath. Well, all of a sudden, I hear her scream at the top of her lungs. It's like, "Mom!" And I run back there, and my mom followed me. And I said, "What's the matter?" And she said, "Did you put those Kleenex by my bed?" And they were, you know, by the bed was a box of Kleenex. And I was like, "No, but Darby, they were probably there, you know, when you know I took my jewelry off before my bath, and the Kleenex were not there." And in the meantime, my mom went to the room where she knew that those Kleenex were. So I hear my mom say, "Sherry," and I go run behind my mom. And she points, and we walk over there, all three of us together. And if you took one Kleenex and laid it down and then moved just a little bit more and put another one to where you had this zigzag platter and three origami-like roses folded out of Kleenex laying right there. And I feel like my dad was back there to make my daughter feel comforted, because she was having a big, long cry in the bathtub about the loss of him and her friend.
When he was alive, did he ever do anything like that?
He had brought us flowers, but no, he never did, like, origami flowers or anything like that. But I feel like that was maybe the only way he could give us flowers right then.
Sure.
At a time it was needed. Yeah. And I have a lot more about him to tell you, but I don't want to take all your time.
Sure.
But I wanted to tell you this one thing you'll love. They have this little app called Ghost Radar online. Mm-hmm. And we were getting all these stories after dad died. Like, he was saying breathing and all this stuff that made us know it was him. And my brother passed away when he was little, and it would say, it said, "Usually Danny, father," you know, I'm getting all these words that's him. And then it randomly says Jeffrey. And I was like, okay, this thing's bonk. But 2 weeks later, my aunt and uncle came to visit his sister, and she said, "Yeah, Chuck used to run around town with that little dog, followed him, that black dog. He named it Jeffrey." And I was like, "Oh my God, that thing is so real."
That's I'm not allowed to have it on my phone or anything. Jenny says no to that. I had it on my phone years ago, and I never got anything of substance out of it like you did. I also never really used it seriously either. I was never in a situation or a setting where I really felt I had anything relevant to ask. But I believe it can work. Just like, you know, I think anything electronic in that world has the potential to be manipulated. And that's really, it's neat. It's kind of scary all at the same time that you're able to make those connections. But I'm glad that you did. I'm glad you kind of got those confirmations that your loved ones are over there and, you know, seem to be doing well, even with the pets.
Yeah. <You know?
laughs> That's good.
Yes. Right.
Well, thank you.
I'm going to send you an email.
Okay.
An email with a link and an EVP I got too.
Okay, great. Love to see it.
So thank you so much for what you do.
Thank you. Really appreciate
all right,
you calling.
Good day.
You too.
Okay.
All right. 216 Ghost 10 is our phone number. 216-GHOST-10 is our phone number. Caller at 469. Hang on. I'm going to come to you in just 1 second. I just wanted to share this because I'm a dork. And as you know, I talk about a lot of dorky things on the show. And this afternoon, I'm having a purple-colored beverage. It's not purple drink. Like, who is the rapper that does that? It's not like Dimetap and vodka. It's soda, actually. But I had some family come in last week. And I love this because if you're from Wisconsin... If anyone's watching from Wisconsin, let me know in the comments. But you'll remember this product from childhood if you grew up in the 80s or the 90s. Or really, I think it started like in the 60s or 70s. But they brought this. Somebody like, there's all the micro brews of beer. But they brought back this. And they're not sponsoring. They haven't paid for this or anything. But I just loved the fact that somebody... got this brand revived, Jolly Good Soda. It's like a store brand where it was like almost it was the cheap soda when you were a kid, but it's a soda that every get-together 4th of July had as a kid called Jolly Good Soda. And somebody brought it back and it tastes exactly like it did in childhood to me. Cans are, they used to be like regular size cans. Now they kind of do this more cylindrical one, but same logo, same everything. And I got like two cases of it from my uncle and aunt who stopped by last week. And it's just, it's the middle of summer. This to me tastes like summer of childhood. So I've been kind of going through these the last couple of days. Just kind of a nostalgic thing I thought I'd share. If anyone out there from the land of north up in Wisconsin remembers that, it was a great soda. And if you ever visit that area, do check it out. I believe they sell them at the Piggly Wigglies. And I'm not even kidding about that. It's not in every store, but it's one of those things where you taste it if you had it as a kid. You're like, oh my gosh, there's just something about that. All right, let's go to the caller at 469. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, Tony, this is George. I called you from Texas. I called you a couple weeks ago about the whole possession story thing.
Yeah, definitely. Yep.
So I was calling. This is much more recent. And we had went to go visit my family in San Antonio. And after I talked to my sister about all this stuff, she was like, oh, yeah, you know, our family has the weird stuff that happens to them, whatever. Like, okay. So we went over there, and we were telling them our story. And I think it's my aunt or something. I don't remember exactly how it related to her. But she was telling me that, oh, yeah, we've had a bunch of paranormal stuff that happened to us, too. And, you know, tells me her stuff. And as she's telling us, I see that she has this doll, like a really old little porcelain-type doll. And I was looking at it like, that looks weird, but I'm normally creeped out about dolls, but my fiance was looking at it and she's just like, oh, that doll is creeping me out, you know?
Sure.
And so as she's looking at it, with the little air conditioner or air sprayer things that go off every 30 minutes or whatever, well, it goes off and she freaks out and she's just like, oh my God. And then we're laughing because we're like, what, you know? And my aunt or whatever was like, oh, that thing goes off every half hour or something like that. That's the only time I ever heard it go off during that time we were there. But she told me that it sounded like there was a giggle with it or whatever. And I'm like, okay, well, that's weird, but whatever. So anyways, after everybody kind of settles down because we drove like a couple hours to get there, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to take a nap because I'm tired. So I go to bed, and they were telling me that they were going to go out to drink or whatever, and if they wanted her to go with. And I was like, yeah, sure, you go ahead, go do whatever. And I'm like, so I go upstairs, go to bed. Anyways, I wake up later, and I notice that she decided not to go because she's sleeping next to me, and I'm like, oh, okay, well, it's a little dark outside, and I just kind of go back to sleep. Well, I wake up again, this time at, like, exactly 3 in the morning, and I wake up having to go to the bathroom, and I'm just like, I look at my phone, I'm like, crap, it's 3 o'clock. I really don't want to walk around in this really big house alone at 3 a.m. after we just talked about, you know, paranormal stuff. So I just start messing with my phone, you know, hopefully my stomach will settle and I'll just go back to sleep. So I'm on my phone messing with it, whatever, and then I hear the door knock. And I'm just like, who's going to be knocking at 3 a.m? I'm already not liking this. But I hear someone get it, and it's them coming back from the club or whatever. So I'm like, oh, okay, well, at least we're awake now, whatever. So I get up and I look downstairs to see the light is on, and I kind of walk over, but I don't see anybody. And I look at the doll, and I see the doll standing where it's at, and I'm like, okay. But I make a note of it to see exactly how it is, so I'm just curious about something. So I go upstairs, go to the bathroom, and as I go to the bathroom, I hear them yelling about something downstairs, like something about the dogs were fighting or something. They should have a bunch of little small dogs. So, you know, I finish up, I go downstairs, and again, I don't see anybody. But I see the doll, and it's still in the same spot. So I'm like, all right, well, it's whatever. So I go back upstairs. I leave the light on because I'm like, yeah, whatever. I'll just leave the light on. And I end up going back to bed. So one of my cousins or whatever goes up there, and she freaks out because the light is on, and there's also a mannequin in the room, and she's going up there, she's going to sleep up there, and she's like, oh, no, I'm not sleeping. Who left the light on in here? Oh, she's just freaking out, and I'm kind of laughing to myself, but like, I could get up right now and be like, hey, no, it's fine, it was me, but I'm like really dozing off, and so I just kind of laugh and then go to sleep. So as I'm going to sleep, this is where I kind of had that sleep paralysis type thing,
sure.
Where I'm like floating backwards a little bit, and I'm looking at myself and my fiance sleeping on the bed, like how we were laying. And I'm like, huh, this is odd. And I've had sleep paralysis before, but this was a different one to where it was almost like if I was being pulled away a little bit.
Okay.
And so as I'm being pulled away and I'm looking, I'm just like, why am I looking at this? And I stop. And where I stop was like, I guess where the wall of the little room is. And from as I'm looking at myself and my fiance, from the door that's behind me, this little shadowy figure runs up to the bed and like lifts itself up to look at us, looks at us for a few seconds, and then just like runs off. And I'm like, what was that? Like, normally I'm pretty defensive about things, but I didn't feel any kind of fear or anything from this. So I was just like, that's strange. And then I just go back to sleep. So I'm like, huh. All right. So, you know, I wake up in the morning and one of my other cousins, I guess aunt, daughter, or whatever it is, she comes over. And we're just talking, and I'm like, oh, I had this weird dream last night. You know, I told her about basically the little shadowy figure that kind of came up to me. And as I'm talking to her, she's like, oh, you've seen it too? And I'm like, what? And she's like, no, yeah, it's that little doll. Like, it's her. Like, she's always doing things around the house and just, you know, basically going wherever she wants. And I'm like, what? No. And as she's talking about that, I look at the doll. It's still in the same spot, but I realize that the shadowy figure is exactly as tall as that doll was. And it also had like a little, yeah, like a little girly dress as well. Wow. And I'm like, oh man, I'm like, holy crap, that's, oh man, I just, yeah, I really think that was it, you know? And as we're talking about it, my fiance's getting freaked out again because she's just like, oh no, like she doesn't want to offend it in any way, but she's just like, I'm afraid. And I'm like, no, it should be fine, but that's really creepy. And then she was telling me some more stuff about the doll, like that, yeah, no, the doll does this, and it's just, it, you know, it, you'll see it every now and again in the corner of your eye, but it's always like, it's friendly or whatever. But and as she's talking about it, I hear the little air spray thingy go off again, and this time I also hear that little giggle at the end, just little, it was like a and I was like, oh, okay. Like, I clearly heard that. And I'm like, But, yeah, that's just one of those little weird things that happened to me when went down to San Antonio.
One little weird thing, yeah. Creepy story with a doll. Yeah, that's just like everybody's nightmare come to life. Thank you for calling in and sharing that story with us this afternoon. Really appreciate it very much. That's going to wrap up our program for the day. Do appreciate everybody calling in and keeping the show very lively. Hey, by the way, right now, if you sign up for a yearly EPP membership, you get a free copy or an e-copy of our book. I'll send it to you directly if you sign up for a yearly EPP membership, or if you upgrade from a monthly to a yearly, or if you renew a yearly between now and July 15th. So a little limited time window for it, but kind of a fun summer promotion to do some stuff. I call it like the summer reading program. Remember doing summer reading as a kid, where you used to go and do that, and then you would You get like a sticker or something. Here, we'll give you an e-copy of our book to enjoy the summer. It's between now and July 15th on our website at ghostpodcast.com. You can sign up there for the yearly EPP membership. That's going to wrap up the program, everybody. Thank you all for watching, and thanks for being a part of the program today. I do greatly appreciate it. We could not do this show without you. So until next time, thank you for listening, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.